Welcome back, and let's get into one of the most useful drum and bass drum skills you can build in Ableton Live 12, Chop Rebuild Playbook with Breakbeat Surgery. This is the move that turns a raw break into something that feels like your track, not just a loop you dragged in. We're going to take a break apart, reshape the timing, rebuild the groove around strong kick and snare anchors, then make it hit harder with layers, bus processing, and variation. If you do this right, the drums feel human, heavy, and lock to the bass line like they were designed together. First thing, choose a break with character. You want strong transients, some room tone, and enough detail to cut into pieces without falling apart. Classic Amen-style breaks work great, but any dusty funk loop or live drum recording can work if it has life in it. Drop it into an audio track, and set your tempo context to around 172 to 174 BPM. That's a sweet spot for modern D&B rollers, jungle-influenced cuts, and darker club-ready grooves. Now, before you chop anything, warp the break properly. Turn warp on, use beats mode for drum material, and start with transient preservation if the source has clear hits. If the timing drifts, place the warp markers so the break sits cleanly against the grid. The goal is not to crush the groove into a robot. The goal is to make it editable while keeping the swing and attitude that make it feel alive. Here's a really important teacher note. Think in terms of anchor and ornaments. Your break should usually have 2 to 4 dependable hits that define the groove. Everything else is there to decorate, push, and breathe around those anchors. If every slice is trying to be the main event, the pattern gets messy fast. Before slicing, decide what the break is doing in the track. Is it the main motion layer, or is it there as texture under a stronger kick and snare spine? In a roller, the break often drives the flow. In jungle, the chop can be more exposed and aggressive. In darker neural-leaning stuff, you may want the break tighter and more controlled so the bass design has room to speak. This is why you always build around the bass line, not beside it. Mute the bass for a moment and the drum idea might seem fine. Bring the bass back in, and suddenly you hear whether the groove is actually leaving space. Now slice the break to a new MIDI track. Transient slicing is usually the most useful here, because it gives you performance-friendly control. Ableton will create a drum rack, and each chop lands on a pad, usually loaded into Simpler. This is where the surgery starts. Go through the slices one by one. Shorten any tails that are smearing into each other. If a slice clicks, add a tiny fade in or fade out. If a hat or noise slice is too long, trim it down so it doesn't blur the rhythm. Often, people reach for compression too early when the real problem is just too much overlap. Shorten the tails first. Clean the source first. That makes everything downstream better. A good workflow here is to label your key sounds so you can think fast later. Things like kick core, snare main, ghost kick, open hat, rim or flam, fill tail. Once you've got that organization, rebuilding gets way faster because you're not hunting through mystery slices. Now create a fresh MIDI clip and rebuild the groove from the strongest hits. Start simple. Put a kick on beat 1. Put your snare where the style wants it, often on 2 and 4, or at least a strong backbeat anchor. Then begin adding chopped break hits around that spine. The chop should support the groove, not fight it. A classic D&B pattern might have kick support on 1, snare on 2, a ghost kick or pickup before 3, then a second snare or rim variation on 4, with hats and tails filling the spaces in between. Keep the important hits tight. Quantize the main anchors if needed, but don't over-quantize everything. If every note is perfectly locked, the break stops feeling like a drummer and starts feeling like a spreadsheet. This is where ghost notes matter a lot. Ghost notes are the secret sauce that makes the loop feel like it's moving forward instead of just repeating. Lower their velocity way down compared to the main hits. Main snares can live up around 90 to 127, while ghosts might sit somewhere around 20 to 60. Hats should also have a velocity shape, so some sit behind the beat and some pop out a little. You can also move ghost notes by just a few milliseconds. Push some slightly early if the groove feels lazy. Pull some slightly late if it feels too rushed. That tiny timing work is huge in drum and bass. It's what makes the drums feel human while still staying locked for the drop. A really useful intermediate trick is to duplicate your MIDI clip and make one version the main loop, and one version the fill loop. Now you've got contrast without rebuilding from scratch. For an 8-bar drop, maybe bars 1 and 2 are the core groove, bars 3 and 4 add a little more top-end movement, bars 5 and 6 thin out a bit so the bass can speak, and bars 7 and 8 bring in a fill or a stronger snare variation before the next phrase lands. That kind of arrangement thinking keeps the track feeling alive. Next, reinforce the chopped break with dedicated kick and snare layers. This is how you get that modern club weight without losing the character of the break. Use a clean kick layer to give the low end punch, and a snare layer with a strong body and snap to support the break's main snare. Tight alignment is important here. The transients should feel like one hit, not two separate events. For the snare, EQ8 is your friend. If it needs body, a gentle lift around 180 to 220 Hz can help. For crack, try a small lift around 2 to 5 kHz. If it gets harsh, look around 7 to 10 kHz and tame it. On the drum bus, a glue compressor with a moderate attack, auto or medium release, and just a couple dB of gain reduction can bring the kit together without flattening it. Now route the break rack, kick layer, and snare layer to a drum bus. This is where the kit becomes one instrument. A strong stock chain is EQ8 first for cleanup, then drum bus for thickness and transient shaping, then saturator for grit, and glue compressor if the bus still needs a little cohesion. Use drum bus carefully. A little drive goes a long way. A little transient boost can help the hits cut. Soft clip can be great if the drums are peaky, but don't let the bus steal the low end from the bass line. If the drums are eating too much space between 40 and 80 Hz, trim some of that region and let the sub own it. If you want extra dirt, use it in parallel or on a return so the dry punch stays intact. A subtle bit of redux or a filtered texture layer can add grime and atmosphere without turning the whole kit muddy. And remember, the core kick and snare should stay centered. Keep the low end solid in mono. Widen only the hats, noise, and room slices if you need more stereo excitement. This next part is crucial for drum and bass. Build a bass-friendly pocket. The drums and bass need to speak around each other. When the bass line gets busy, simplify the break. When the bass opens up or drops out, let the break get more detailed. Don't fill every 16th note just because you can. Bass is power. Negative space makes the next hit feel bigger. If you want a real pro move, use arrangement density as a section marker. Intro can be sparse and filtered. First drop can be the core groove. Mid drop can add ghost notes and extra fills. Turnarounds can simplify again and then hit with one standout fill. Even a tiny change in hat density or snare emphasis can make the same loop feel like a live performance instead of a copied file. Automation helps a lot here. You can automate filter cutoff on a parallel break texture, automate reverb send on a single snare before the drop, or automate saturation a little higher in fill bars. You can even pull the width in during the intro and open it up in the drop. One of my favorite moves is to resample a one-bar fill, reverse it, and tuck it right before a phrase change. That little reverse sweep into a snare can make the next section slam harder. For darker, heavier DNB, you can lean into a slightly darker top end too. If the break is getting too glossy, roll off some fizz above 12 to 14 kHz. Or create a quiet filtered room tone layer behind the break for atmosphere, but keep it tucked low so it doesn't haze the mix. If you want more aggression, resample the drum bus, then chop that rendered audio again. The second generation often sounds more unified and more record-like. Common mistakes to avoid: chopping before the break is properly warped, quantizing every hit perfectly, using too many slices at full volume, and letting the drum bus gobble up the bass. Also, don't overprocess it until it goes static. You want weight and grit, not a flattened block of noise. And don't forget variation. At minimum, give yourself two versions of the pattern, one more open for the main drop and one more stripped for contrast. If you've got 15 minutes, here's a quick practice pass. Load a classic break at 174 BPM. Warp it cleanly. Slice it to a drum rack. Build a one-bar groove with one main kick, one main snare, at least three ghost notes, and two hat or tail chops. Add a kick layer and a snare layer. Put EQ8, drum bus, and glue compressor on the drum bus. Then make two versions, one open, one stripped. Check both in mono with utility, and listen to whether the break still feels alive once the bass is in. That's the whole mindset right there. Warp first, chop second, rebuild around anchors, add ornaments with intention, reinforce the spine, process the bus with control, and always leave room for the bass line. In drum and bass, the best chopped break is the one that feels human, heavy, and locked to the sub. That's the sound. Bass the move.